James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But did that really happen? Or is it just a myth derived from the fertile imaginations of his disciples?
I believe Jesus rose bodily from the dead as he predicted, because the historical evidence strongly suggests this.
Find out the facts of the resurrection and see it through the eyes of one of history's greatest skeptics on today's Truths That Transform. Well, happy Easter to you, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Today is the highest and holiest day of the Christian calendar. Yet some question the truth we celebrate today. We now live in the so-called information age, but we often find much of that information questionable. There is indeed such a thing as fake news. And skeptical scholars seem to appear out of nowhere to tell us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead never happened. Are they right? Or are they advocating fake history? Find out on today's program. And we will get an inside look at Jesus' resurrection from one of the most well-known skeptics, Doubting Thomas. We begin with the key question about the resurrection. Is it true history or its greatest hoax? Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb with more.
In virtually every nation and on every continent, Christians are worshiping every Sunday in a variety of settings. Every Sunday morning is a weekly reminder of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Belief in Jesus and his resurrection from the dead is the core of Christianity. But is this based on true history?
Christianity really is based in history, and the Apostle Paul makes that claim in 1 Corinthians 15, and he points out that if we can't rely on the historical truthfulness of the accounts, then our faith is really in vain.
And the history of the Jesus movement even goes beyond the New Testament.
Jesus was a very talked about figure in antiquity. People appealed to him, prayed to him, invoked his name for healing, for protection against evil spirits, for protection against just plain bad luck or injury. Jesus is much talked about in rabbinic texts, in the Quran, people don't know that, and in various magical texts and so on. And so I wanted to bring together in one book, between two covers, everything that talks about Jesus in antiquity. So that's why the book is called Jesus and the Manuscripts, not just New Testament or biblical manuscripts, but everything from antiquity, so people can see it and compare it and learn just how rich this ancient textual tradition is.
If Jesus is not resurrected from the dead, then we don't have Christianity. If you want to have a set of religious truths, there's plenty of ways to do that, and there are good teachings in the New Testament. But if we want to really think about the basis of Christianity, Christianity rests on the historical proclamation that Jesus rose from the dead. So if you separate out and say that the historical basis is not important, I would argue you don't have Christianity.
Some modern critics of the resurrection try to weasel out of it by saying he rose spiritually, but not bodily.
It's important to know that when the New Testament proclaims the resurrection of Jesus, it's a bodily resurrection. Because resurrection doesn't make any sense if the body is still in the tomb. Then it's something else. It's a ghost story. It's a vision. It's seeing an apparition of Jesus or something like that. If his body is still in the tomb, and by the way, his family and friends would know that. Jewish people were very sensitive about burial. They didn't lose track of where a loved one was placed. Jesus died the death of a criminal. His body is therefore placed in a tomb that the Sanhedrin provides. That's Jewish law. It's in writing.
When it comes to the resurrection, we of course have the most important phenomenon in the history of the world. It's clear that either Jesus rose physically, really, or not. Can the resurrection be proven? The character transformation of the apostles, you know, it's a wonderful proof in and of itself. The change of the day of worship by the early church from Saturday to Sunday. I mean, what's more important than the Jewish Sabbath? And yet they're going to change the name. Two phenomena happened on Easter Sunday morning. Everybody overlooks the other phenomenon, which can be proven. And that is, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, into which Jesus was buried on Friday, was in fact empty on the morning of the resurrection.
A fascinating aspect of the resurrection of Jesus is the way it has converted some skeptics.
The original skeptics of the resurrection were the apostles. They weren't convinced. And when Jesus shows up in Luke 24, they weren't convinced. And it wasn't until he began teaching them, reminding them of what he taught them, and how his resurrection as well as his death brought to completion what the Hebrew Bible, what the Old Testament had been teaching, and what he had been teaching them.
Paul also says in one of his letters that, of course, Jesus appeared to the disciples, even appeared to himself. So we actually have firsthand evidence from somebody who saw Jesus, who, by the way, was a hostile witness. Paul was not a follower of Jesus, but a critic and a persecutor of the church. And Paul even talks about Jesus appearing to more than 500 people at one time. In my view, that rules out the possibility of hallucinations or wishful thinking, but the resurrection is real, and a whole lot of people saw Jesus, experienced it, and that's why they were willing, more than willing, to proclaim his resurrection, even if it meant their own death.
But skeptics converted by the risen Jesus wasn't just a first century phenomenon. J. Warner Wallace is by trade a cold case homicide detective and a former skeptic.
I knew, for me, as a 35-year-old who was not a Christian, that central claim is this guy, did this guy rise from the grave? I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't investigate anything else. I just focused on that claim. And that claim changes everything. Now, there's evidence related to the empty tomb of Jesus, the resurrection. You have an empty tomb. If it wasn't empty, this would be over in the first century. You have people who refuse to recant their stories. If they had recanted their stories, this would be over with in the first century.
Another former skeptic, convinced by the resurrection, among other things, is Lee Strobel, former legal affairs editor for the Chicago Tribune.
When you consider most of what we know from ancient history is from one or two sources, but 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament, that is a convincing amount of evidence that convinced me that the disciples encountered the resurrected Jesus. It changed their lives. It changed everything about them. They were willing to die for it. We have 7 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament that say that the disciples were willing to suffer lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation.
Scholars note that one of the major aspects of the resurrection of Jesus is that it was such a pivotal moment in the history of the world.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the turning point in human history. I mean, it is the miracle of miracles, and it's really the basis for our understanding that God accepted the sacrifice of his Son. Romans 4 says that the resurrection is tied into our justification. If Christ had not been raised, then there's no guarantee that God could declare us righteous. It was the event that set in motion our future resurrection. So it really has changed everything.
My read is the resurrection happened. That is indeed the best explanation for the proclamation of these people. Jesus has died. Oh, no, wait, he's alive. He hasn't failed after all. he really is living. And that's why the message took hold and swept the Roman Empire in 300 years. There's nothing like that in history.
I believe Jesus rose bodily from the dead as he predicted, because the historical evidence strongly suggests this. What's a fascinating thing to observe is that we have no less than 11 sources, ancient sources, that tell us that the disciples of Jesus were willing to suffer continuously and willing to suffer to the point of dying. Now, we know that several of them were martyred because we have multiple early independent sources that attest to this.
During these days of COVID, we see an increase in suffering and death. Scholars note that in Christ's resurrection, death is conquered.
As we try to cope with our suffering and even the death that we face, the resurrection is really the answer to that. It is the guarantee. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that we will one day be raised, that we will have new bodies, that the pain, that the suffering that we face in this current life will be finished.
The reality of the resurrection of Jesus is, you might say, the ultimate game changer. Because when you think about the world today, people who suffer, people who are ill, people who die, how the depressing time we've been through with COVID and all the rest of this, the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. Ultimately, it shows God cares. God is with us. There is the hope of new life. There is the hope of conquering illness and death. So the resurrection message is as relevant today as ever. It's as important for us today as it was for Jesus' followers 2,000 years ago.
Discover the power and promise of Christ's passion in the book, Behold the Man, written by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb to help you more fully grasp the incredible price Jesus paid to rescue you from your sins. Behold the Man is an in-depth look at Christ's passion from multiple perspectives. You'll encounter what was foretold hundreds of years ahead by the prophets. The depth of that bitter cup of God's wrath that Christ drank for you. The eyewitness testimony of Christ's passion from Thomas, Judas, the Roman centurion, Barabbas, and others. And the overwhelming scientific evidence for Christ's resurrection. For your generous donation toward the work of this ministry, we'll send you the book Behold the Man to embolden you to live more faithfully for Jesus, who gave his all so that we might live.
Skepticism about the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is nothing new. In fact, one of the most well-known figures in the history of the church was himself a doubter. What changed his mind? And what does it mean for you and me? Dr. D. James Kennedy takes a unique look at the death and resurrection of Christ in this portion of his message, Thomas the Skeptic.
Now, I know that many of you think you know me well. Some of you, of course, don't know me at all. So probably I should introduce myself to you. My last name is Didymus. In case you don't know, that means a twin. I suppose that there are many here that didn't even know I had a twin brother. That's what you know. My first name is Thomas. No, it's not doubting. Some of you can't even say my name anymore without adding that prefix, doubting Thomas. I saw him betrayed. I saw him captured. I saw him bound, led away, tried, condemned, scourged, and nailed to a cross. They said, Jesus, he's alive. And I said, Jesus is dead. I saw him. I saw the dead body, the glazed eyes, the complete white skin with all of the blood drained out, the stiffened limbs. Jesus is dead. That I know better than anything else. and except I were to put my finger into the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into the spear wound at his side, I will not believe. And I went to the room that night. It was in the same upper room. And I saw him. I saw his face. And I said, "That is Jesus. But it can't be Jesus. Jesus is dead. But he is alive. He's actually walking. Dead men don't walk. It can't be Jesus, but it is Jesus." And suddenly, he extended his hands, palms open toward me, and spoke right to me these words, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and place it in the wounds in my hands. And reach hither thy hand and place it in the spear wound in my side. And be not faithless, but believe." My knees gave way. I crumpled to the floor and found myself looking right into, no, not into, but right through the gaping holes in his feet. And suddenly, it seemed that a breeze swept through my mind and swept all of the cobwebs of doubt away, and I knew that this indeed was Jesus. And I looked up into his face and I said, "My Lord and my God." And I was transformed. Jesus said unto me, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are all of those which have not seen and yet have believed." Doubting Thomas, you say, you better get it straight. I never want to hear those words from your mouth again. It is doubtless Thomas that you're looking at, because I know beyond any doubt that death is not the end, the grave is not our final destination, but that I shall live again and live forever in the mansions of paradise that he hath gone to the cross to prepare. And I went a long way that perhaps many of you don't even know about. I traveled thousands of miles, and everywhere I went, I preached about the risen, glorified Christ who has overcome death and delivered us from the tomb. I went to India, where I had a phenomenal ministry, and the church that exists in India today sprang from my witness there. You know, many people suppose that unbelief is not a great sin, a peccadillo at best, and in some circles, unbelief is viewed as a virtue. I have noticed that in your society today, unbelief is rampant. Among certain groups, it's looked on as a badge of honor. In fact, if you should say that you believe, you might be looked on contemptuously by them. They do not realize that unbelief is the parent of all sin. Are you an unbeliever? It is so rampant, widespread in our society today. It's no longer like a pestilence that walketh in darkness, and it's the one thing that will keep us from the mercy of God. Ah, but dear friend, on this celebration of the resurrection, are there any here who do not have that blessed assurance of life eternal, who are still in their unbelief, who are under the cloud of God's justice, holiness, and wrath for sin? Oh, in the name of Jesus, I invite you, as he invited me, to come, to receive him, to kneel before him, to trust in him as your Lord and your God and your Savior. And you too may doubtless be.
Dr. Kennedy valued the free gift of salvation so much because Jesus had transformed his own life, and he wanted to share that transformation with others. As a scholar of the Bible, Dr. Kennedy knew that the very center of the Christian story, the key event that defines all other events, is the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. He never tired of studying and expounding on this glorious truth, and you can now reap the benefits of those insights in the book, Behold the Man, The Power and Promise of Christ's Passion, by Dr. Kennedy and our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Discover how the crucifixion was at the center of Christ's mission from the very beginning, what his suffering accomplished for us, and what it means for our daily lives. You will also discover the scientific evidence for the resurrection and meet some of the key participants in the crucifixion story. We will send you the book, Behold the Man, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a gift of $60 or more, we will send you the book plus the 7-message DVD series, The Divine Drama, Eyewitness Testimony to Christ's Passion. These compelling messages place you right in the middle of history's greatest drama as you see Christ's suffering, his crucifixion, and his resurrection through the people who were there. You saw an excerpt from one of these messages, Thomas the Skeptic, earlier in this program. This set contains the full message, plus 6 others, which are among the most requested of Dr. Kennedy's works. With riveting intensity, Dr. Kennedy takes you inside the heart and mind of 7 people who played key roles in this divine drama. If you're able to give a generous gift to help us continue our work of broadcasting biblical truth, we will thank you by sending you the book, Behold the Man, The Power and Promise of Christ's Passion. And if you can give a generous gift of $60 or more, we will be delighted to send you the 7-message DVD set, The Divine Drama, Eyewitness Testimony to Christ's Passion, along with the book, Behold the Man. And as you give, you will be helping us stand for truth and defend your freedom at a time when the cancel culture is trying to silence voices like ours. We were recently forced off the Lifetime channel because our program was deemed too controversial. Friends, we are asking for your prayers and your financial support to make sure this broadcast finds new outlets to replace the Lifetime channel so that we can continue proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his truth to the nations. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. On this day, the holiest and most joyful day of the year, we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even longtime Christians sometimes lose sight of the full significance of that event. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the divine Messiah and that death is not the end. But it does more than that. To fully grasp the full significance of Easter, we have to put it in the context of God's story. This creation was thrown into turmoil and death with the sin of Adam and Eve, a sin that all of us participate in. But God promised deliverance from that sin. He sent His Son Jesus into the world, and Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life and voluntarily suffered death on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of all who will put their faith in Him. And then on the third day, Jesus rose again. But His bodily resurrection from the dead, in which He walked out of the tomb alive again, was the very tip of the iceberg. The Bible tells us that His resurrection is the first fruit of our own eventual bodily resurrection, if we are in Christ. In fact, the whole creation will be raised from the dead in some sense. The Apostle Paul tells us the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You see, the Easter resurrection means God's purpose for His creation has not failed. It means that Satan and death do not win. It means God does not get chased out of His own good creation by our sin. It means that God truly does win victory over sin in Jesus Christ, ushering in a restored and glorified physical creation. Wouldn't you love to see it all made new and be part of that new creation? Only in Jesus Christ can we participate in what the Bible calls the new heaven and the new earth. If you have never trusted Jesus for your salvation, there's no better time than right now as we celebrate His glorious resurrection. If that's the desire of your heart, pray with me right now. Father, I know I have sinned against You, but Lord, I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus into the world to save me, to pay for my sins, and to purchase eternal life, so that one day I will be resurrected and be like Him. I accept this free gift and repent of my sins for which Jesus died. In His name I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer with me today for the first time, we have a vital resource we would like to send to you at no cost or obligation to you. It's Dr. Kennedy's book, Beginning Again, designed for new believers to guide you in your relationship with Christ. Contact us to receive a copy today, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Happy Easter to you, and thanks for being with us. Here's a look at the next truths that transform.
I think the Equality Act is an atom bomb to decimate religious freedom in America. I think you'll see, if it were to ever pass, you will see a direct attack against the church.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.